Financial Times in London, I'm Vanessa Kortikas, and this is FT News.
Exchequer, the Right Honourable Philip Abbott. Yay!
I report today on an economy that has continued to confound the commentators with robust growth, a labour market delivering record employment, and a deficit down by over two-thirds.
That was UK Chancellor Philip Hammond presenting his spring budget with some good news on the economy, but against a backdrop of heightened uncertainty as the government prepares to enter formal talks on leaving the European Union. Here with me to discuss the main points are Chris Giles, the FT's economics editor, Henry Mance, political correspondent, and Claire Barrett, personal finance editor. First, Chris, what did you make of today's budget statement?
This was the last budget before Britain formally notifies the EU that it intends to leave. And the good news for Philip Hammond was that the economy hasn't performed really badly over the past 3 months. In fact, it's pretty much identical when you get to the end of the forecast period in 2021. In the short term, very good news, growth up to 2% in 2017, public finances a lot better. The years after that are a bit worse than they were. So it balances out in the long term. The biggest measure was an attempt to bring more fairness to the tax system between employees, the self-employed and owner-managers, with the self-employed having to pay more national insurance from next year and owner-managers paying greater taxes, particularly on the dividends they pay themselves.
Henry, was there anything politically significant in this budget? Anything to offend or please voters?
This wasn't meant to be a radical budget. It wasn't meant to have too many things to rock the boat. But there's one thing in it which potentially causes a bit of a rebellion amongst Tory MPs. And that's a rise in national insurance for workers earning about £16,000 a year or more, self-employed workers. That goes against a manifesto commitment by the Tories. And it will be picked up on by both moderate Tories who aren't so aligned with Theresa May and also by Labour politicians. Unfortunately, Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour leader, didn't actually mention it in his response to the budget.
And finally, Claire, many of your readers are investors and savers. Which points would you highlight for them in today's statement?
So the biggest surprise for investors in today's budget was the reduction in the tax-free dividend allowance. Now, George Osborne set this up. It's only been in place for around a year, giving you a tax-free slab, £5,000, that you can have a tax-free dividend if you're an owner of a company or if you're just an investor who has shares in a company held out with the tax-efficient ISA structure. So from next April 2018, that's going to be cut right down to £2,000 worth of tax-free allowance. So lots of readers will probably be upset about that. However, they'll be less upset that there was absolutely nothing at all in the Chancellor's announcement today about changes to the way pensions will be taxed, which more wealthy people have been a lot more worried about. However, you don't know what he's going to do in the autumn, so watch this space.
Thanks to Chris, Henry and Claire for their swift roundup of the main points. And if you'd like to read more on the UK budget, go to ft.com/budget. We'll also be taking a more in-depth look at the budget in our FT Money Show and FT Politics podcast this week, so look out for those.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost £27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.